Nice. Welcome to our first video podcast. It's the goddamn healing club. It's the fucking healing club podcast in Houston, Texas. Over here in sunny Channel View, Houston. Or outside of Houston. It's the industrial neighborhood with all the power plants and the Shell and Exxon and Chevron and the steam and the chemical factories and the... When does the music stop?
It was very funky, though. You're good at intros.
I was getting funky.
You're very good at intros. No, I'm not. Do you think you got good at intros because of your job?
Okay, this is probably the first time anybody's seen this, and I've recorded about 200 podcasts plus, or 250, or somewhere between those two numbers.
Yeah.
But nobody listens to them, really, and I liked not doing a video aspect of the podcast because I'm not so confident about my looks.
Yeah, I would say that's the only reason I agreed to do your podcast.
What?
In the past.
It was because nobody was looking.
There was no cameras. Yeah.
No camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I didn't dress up. I was at work all day. And so if you're not a regular listener for the Healing Club, I'm just an average guy. I'm just a service industry dude. I'm just a 12-year open mic stand-up with 12 years of open mic experience.
I wouldn't call your job a standard industry job.
Okay, but I'm
it's a little funky. It's a little sexy.
I'm a DJ at a strip club.
That's right.
Could
you give me an intro if I was coming on stage?
No, I would. I would say, what would be your dancer name?
Tesla.
Tesla.
Yeah, because my name is Tess, and you know it's a car. There's a lot of cars in the strip club.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nobody has the name Tesla. Yeah, yeah, there's Mercedes, Tesla. There's Jetta, there's Benz. There's Mercury,
Chrysler,
there's Galatea, and Galatea was a name somebody had today, and I was like, damn, getting into mythology.
Oh, that's not a car?
No, that's a statue that comes to life.
Okay, that's good, because I was like, wow, I've never heard of that car. It must be so rich.
But
I've never even heard of it.
Coming to the stage now, beautiful Tesla! And then you'd be playing like Ludacris or something.
Yeah,
or,
no,
you'd be dancing to.
I play something really sad, and I
like Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, I would just stand there. I wouldn't even take my clothes off.
Yeah, that's. I would play. Yeah, I don't like to think about what I would dance to because Andy, my boyfriend, and I were dancing around the other day, and there's like a little pole in the middle of my apartment.
Yeah.
Like a pillar, like a wooden pillar in the wood paneling around my walls of my room and a wooden pillar in the middle of my apartment. And I was listening to Madonna, Papa Don't Preach. And I was just thinking, like, I was humping the pillar and like twirling around on it. Like it was
That's
a,
nice.
Yeah. You've and learned I some thought moves. That was, so that would be the song that I would do is Papa Don't Preach by Madonna.
That's nice. I just feel like all the songs I hear at strip clubs, like they're good, but I don't like, I wouldn't dance to them.
Yeah.
But I probably I just dance to like real like I would dance to Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you could just dance to Bad Bunny or something. It doesn't matter what you dance to. Just,
it really doesn't matter.
Just
yeah.
sort of dissociate and pretend you're not there. Close your eyes, just dance around and
they'd be like
feel it like you know just get into the groove and it doesn't matter what the groove is I guess. George Strait or
country music that'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, some. I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, Hank Williams, I don't know. We've talked about that before. I get so tired of that job. And
it's fair.
And Tess, we both have we're going to be in an art gallery on Saturday.
Oh yeah, we are. I'm super excited for that.
Tess has sculptures up and I have 10 by 10 drawings lined in one row.
Yeah. Have you been back? One wall.
Yeah. And
oh, really? How's it looking?
It looks pretty cool. Emily Peacock is putting it all together and she is, you know, the curator and she's labeling everything and she's helping to like place everything along the walls. But it's me, Bob Morrissey, Tess Vergault, George Brito, Kate Vance, and Emily Peacock all have work up there. So
yeah, and it's comedians who do art.
It's at Baskets Bookstore, or the gallery above Baskets Bookstore.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've never shown my artwork in a gallery before, so exciting.
I haven't in a couple years, and the this is a legitimate
business.
Yeah, I didn't get this work up by sucking any dicks.
That's beautiful, which is Bob.
Which how it worked last time. I had work in a gallery because I sucked dicks. And I sucked a lot of dicks to get there. And I sold a couple of pieces for, you know.
You could have just been doing comedy.
Well, yeah, nobody's going to. Yeah, if I could have sucked dick to get on better shows, I would have.
By the way, if anyone's sucking dick in Houston for comedy, that's sad. There's, just be better. There's enough stage time.
Yeah.
You don't need to suck dick to get on these shows.
Yeah, but if you could suck a dick to get somewhere, you know.
Depends where I'm getting, you know.
I would suck Tom Segura's dick too.
Really?
Yeah. But I doubt he would want me to, and then
he's funny, but
he's famously
not,
married, and you know,
he's not dick suck worthy in my opinion.
I would
for
suck Bert Kreischer's dick.
Oh, that's a dirty dick. That dick is on cocaine, for sure.
I would suck, I don't know. Who else is doing well? I don't know. Anybody who's doing well. Just, it doesn't have, matter you what you no look morals. Like.
Whatever, yeah, whoever. Like, yeah. Whoever will let me suck their dick.
Yeah.
There's gay comedians out there.
Yeah.
That might be
but
they avenue.
Can get, they're not desperate to get their dick sucked. It would take like a straight comedian to, like, to feel like,
Yeah, because then they wouldn't be able to tell anybody.
Yeah. I would need to, I don't know. I wish it were like 30 years ago and I could blackmail a straight comedian by sucking his dick, then get further in my career because people would be afraid to be outed.
You can.
But now nobody would care because I think the world is so queer that it wouldn't really affect anyone's reputation to be, you know.
I don't know. I think there's still some comics who have a certain aura. Like, that if it came out that they were gay, their fans might be upset.
Like Kevin Hart or somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's gay, but I would do it.
Maybe Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle. I bet that would be fun. I don't know. Or he'd probably be smoking a lot, and I bet he wouldn't get it up.
His dick would cough. Yeah. A little puff of smoke comes out.
I quit smoking for 5 months. Now I'm not a smoker, so now I can judge.
Don't you love that?
Yeah, it's why I quit.
I love becoming a hypocrite. It's the best. Mm.
So I don't want to be. Have you had any like big philosophical thoughts in the last day or two that have been consuming you? With like, are you pondering questions that are gnawing at your, you know, insides? Like a, you know, I don't know. I don't know why I'm. But I was
not recently. I haven't been doing drugs recently, so that hasn't happened. It's so hard when you get asked a question like that. Like, I'm
yeah,
sure
there's no
I
way
have,
to answer it well.
But like, I usually try to forget it afterwards. I'm like, why was I thinking about that? Let's move on. Let's go to work.
I was at the bar yesterday at the Catbirds, and I was talking to Dusty Rhodes. And I was saying,
did y'all get philosophical?
Yeah. And I was saying, I don't want to be just some dude who's part of the background noise. What if your whole life is just a contribution to the background noise? And that's all you did with your voice was you just like provided more static buzz for people to ignore. And I'm like, damn.
I don't think you're part of the background noise at all.
I know. But what if I am? And what? Yeah. But, and
well, think about it this way. Everyone is going to be a part of somebody's background noise.
Yeah.
Even if you're pretty famous, there's still people who are never going to know who you are. So you're still going to be the background noise for that person's life. But you're the main voice in your own life. So, you know, all you have to do is become very conceited.
There's plenty of people who never, you know, like if you're, who never get their voice out there. And then it just, and then if it is reached, if it does reach people, like, I don't know. This is related to a thing I was talking about with other people. I'm sorry, I'm getting philosophical. I was just trying
it's the healing club.
I was just trying to, I feel like I'm hang gliding, and I'm trying to make the conversation just pick up and lift off.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of just how we both do stand up, and
yeah, we're
so
trying.
Does Mike. Mike, who's behind the curtain there.
Yeah, he's the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But you know, like, I mean, your voice is out there. You have, what did you say, between 200 or 250 podcasts that you've recorded.
Yeah.
Your voice is recorded in history now.
So in space, it is just, you know.
Well, we don't need to talk about space.
But
there's so much more out there that humans are nothing compared to the rest of the universe.
Yeah. But my ultimate goal is not to be part of the background noise. I want to be fucking entertainment. And I want to be, and I look at some of my old jokes, and I had COVID recently, and I was going through all my old notebooks and trying to put my jokes onto note cards so that I could use them more easily or edit more easily, or, you know, and I'm just looking through all the things that I've said on stage for 12 years. And I'd say a good like 90% of it is complete bullshit. Like nothing I would ever want anybody to know about. And it's like, why did I, you know, like commit so hard to bad ideas when I didn't know what I was doing?
Well, that's like 99% of all stand-up is bullshit. No.
Yeah, it's
sometimes it's fun to laugh at bullshit though.
But like, it's fun to laugh at like stuff that like is actually clever or funny, or, you know.
I don't know. Some people like different style. I mean, there's Casey Rocket. His stand up isn't necessarily like thought provoking.
Yeah, but it's all like kind of witty, and, you know, they're all lines that are written to be funny that elicit laughs that have, you know, like punchline structure. Most of my stuff is like, man, I don't want to be the background noise.
But that's not a joke. Dan, that's a thought.
I don't want to be like. Most of my stuff is like. Here, I'll. Can I do a reading?
Yeah, let's do a reading for us. Do you write poetry?
Yeah, I was watching a movie called Margaret yesterday, and this guy Jean, that played by Jean Reno, who's, you know, the professional in the 90s. Anyway, he was saying at this pivotal part of the movie where he really says something dumb after he says this, but he's talking about how like people with power want the status quo to remain the same because, you know, that's good for them. And those are the people who are all about law and order because they're law and order. It's their laws, their rules.
They're called
Republicans.
So
law and order is important to them because they have the power. And then... You know, like, during the movie, go watch the movie Margaret. It's 4 hours long. It's
super. That's not, no.
It's not.
You can just tell me about it.
It's not entertaining. It's about how people talk, and it's about character and how people think and how people relate to each other and how we're all kind of like aggressive and angry at each other for stuff that doesn't make sense. And it's about a bus accident.
Sounds
mainly
deep.
It's about the case of a bus accident.
Okay.
But it takes 3.5 hours to tell the story.
I don't like that. How old is this movie?
It was made in 2004.
Oh, that's
but then
long
it was held
for a
up,
2004 movie.
It was held up because they wouldn't release it until it was like 2.5 hours long. And so they the studio blocked its release for 7 years. It didn't come out until 2011. And then it only came out in the truncated version that they released in 2011, but now there's like the full version you can watch.
Like the director's cut?
Yeah, yeah. And you really need to see the full version.
I don't know. I just, to sit down for 4 hours to watch a movie seems exhausting.
But it's like watching a show.
I know, I'm sitting down. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I can deal with watching 10 hours straight of a show.
Which I watched it in like four pieces. I didn't watch the whole thing at once. But
I can sit down and like binge a show for like 10 hours. But if it's a 4 hour movie, no. I don't know why.
Yeah, you watched Yellow Jackets in like 2 days or something, you said?
It was like a week. It was like a week. I had to sleep, you know, go to work.
Yeah, but so the main point that I was trying to make was that power gives you like complacence because you think that you deserve power because you have it, and then your power is maintained through law and order and rules that you control, and people who violate your rules are like held in contempt because they're threatening your power.
It's basically the criminal justice system right there.
Well, yeah, I know.
A lot of it. I mean, some stuff is bad, but like, you know, people who smoke weed,
Mm-hmm.
But so you said you don't want to be a bad. So do you want power?
I want like personal autonomy. I don't want power over other people. I just want to. I just want to have the freedom to not worry that I'm going to be homeless.
Yeah, but I mean, I've heard you say before that you want to be famous. You want to be a famous comedian. Mm. And if you do get to that point, you do have power.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not like. I want to be funny. I don't want to just to have power. Like I want to be funny on stage. I want to be a powerful like voice on stage. I want to have a good act. Yeah, and I want to do well and, you know, make people happy by like writing good jokes.
Yeah, but then there's your catch 22, because if you are powerful, this like if you're this famous comedian who like makes a lot of people laugh, then you have power.
Well, yeah, but
and then do you think after that you become complacent and then your stand-up sucks?
It could. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like that's usually the way like a rise and fall happens. But
so would you rather have the rise and fall or, you know, stay grounded?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about the difference between being funny and knowing how to be funny, because there's funny people who don't know how to be funny. And I think I can be funny, but I just don't know how to turn it on. Like, you know, like go on stage and be like,
hone an axe.
Yeah.
Just the basic job.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I have like a funny character or point of view. I write good jokes, but I always feel like when I am doing well on stage, it's like, it's every joke is a magic trick. And if I run out of tricks, I have a very hard time just being myself and maintaining the same level of, laughs just by being naturally and personally, like, you know, charming. I mean, like, I'm not charming in the way that's like, you know, that comes easily to like Casey Rocket, where everything he says just like has some sort of like, you know, pop.
Yeah, well, or, he's built such a character on stage that he like, I mean, he's not actually like that in real life.
He's a little bit like that though.
Well, I mean, but like, I mean, when you're on stage, you're a lot more exaggerated.
Yeah.
Right? Or like our friend Enrique.
Enrique Chacon.
Yeah. Great comic. Has such a character on stage. But he's not like, when you're talking to him after he gets off.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's a little more reserved and he's not screaming the whole time. He's not sweating. Like, he's... Enrique Chacon is the sweatiest guy in the world when he's like in.
I know
his That's shirts power. Are completely That's soaked the power by the time seeping he's done out. Doing 10 minutes.
But he's the only comic I see get off stage. I'm like, you just worked. Like, you actually worked.
It's a workout. Yeah, like that
it level pays off. It pays off.
Yeah.
The high level of energy. I have a hard time maintaining energy on stage, especially if I feel that the crowd doesn't like me or isn't vibing with me. I'll start to match their energy.
Yeah, I'll start to
start to talk more monotone, less animated. And I lose my groove. Sometimes I'll start really low and then they give me something. And then by the end of the set, I'm like super excitable and like doing the bits more like happy, go lucky, whatever.
But yeah, I will lose all faith in myself and I'll be like,
yeah, during a set.
I will completely hate the fact that I tried.
You ever end a set and you're like, okay, guys, I guess that's it. I'm sorry.
Wow, I really ruined your night. Yeah. It's going to be better after me, I promise. If I hit a wrong note, then I don't want to act like I didn't do that. Like if I know it sucks as much as the audience does, and but the audience doesn't want you to acknowledge it most of the time. They don't want you to be like,
well, they want you to win them back.
Yeah.
I see so many comics win an audience back. I think I've only done that a few times if I've started to fuck up. But usually, yeah, my energy just goes.
Yeah, it's hard to win an audience back with material. If you fuck up a moment and you make an audience unhappy, it's never like it's an indication of how bad you're doing. If you go to your big joke that usually gets a big laugh, and then that gets like,
you're like, fuck off.
you gotta know how to just speak, you know, from, you know,
from in the moment.
Yeah. Like, and then get into material. You got to make something funny happen. Like,
what's funny is if you start really high, you're doing joke, 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 and then you like kind of interact with the audience a little bit and they're like, oh my God, oh my God. And then you go back into your material and they're like, no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Keep talking to us. I'm like, that's all I could do for you.
Yeah, I'm tired now of talking to you
about the stuff I planned.
Yeah.
It's just trying to be more loose, I think, is difficult. Not for everybody.
Yeah. And but as much as I like to be loose and all that and like improvisational on stage and like, I think I'm a control freak and I really like to have everything like plotted out and written mm-hmm. down, and like I like to have everything go exactly according to plan. And I spend a lot of time putting the plan together. And if the plan doesn't go well,
it's unfortunate because comedy is like the worst
thing to place plan
to do. Yeah, you can't plan it all the time. But yeah, you still write all your set lists out.
Yeah, yeah. And then I get really fucking mad if I go up. I wrote my set list out earlier today, and then I see somebody right before me just like do all my premises one after the other about like, I don't know, gay, military, whatever.
Who's doing gay military jokes besides you?
There'll be people who will do, you know, gay panic jokes. Straight dudes will talk about like, here's what I think about gay people or something. And then,
yeah, but
and then I'll be like, God damn it. Now I'm just going to be saying the same thing.
But you're not, because like, you're coming from the perspective of someone who's actually gay.
Yeah, but I'm still talking about the same thing. So, and that's like,
it's a different perspective. Yeah,
people get sick of hearing it. I don't know. Like, not everybody, like, there's some shows where it seems like 5 out of 7 comics address gay people through like a big portion of their set, and they're not even gay. And it's like, I'm just watching everybody talk about gayness.
But it's, I know, but it's your experience then when you come on stage. It's, you're not commenting on gay people. You're like, I'm gay and here is my experience.
Yeah. And also like being a hot gay guy is like a big like big plus. I think audiences want to see a gay guy like that they could fuck. Audience, you know, like
is that what you?
If
think?
You're gonna be a gay guy, if you're gonna be gay, you better be hot.
Well,
it's like being a woman.
I don't know. I don't think being super hot is the most helpful for comedy. I think it's the only industry where being extremely hot could actually be bad.
It seems like the hot people always do pretty well, though. Like, yeah.
Oh, well, they do well up to a point, but they're not like the most successful comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
They can like get into the door because of their face, but like they won't prolong like a Bert or a Tom.
Tom Segura.
I'm only bringing like, them up because you said you'd suck their dicks, but but they're not like super hot dudes.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep naming names because then I'm just calling all these people
Kyle Kinane.
But there's a lot of comedians who are, they're not ugly, but they're not hot. They're not models.
They're just normal looking people.
Yeah. Nobody wants a model to complain about life.
Yeah.
You're like, shut the fuck up. Your life's pretty good.
I want to, I don't know. I do want to go up my, what's your New Year's resolution this year? Did you have one?
I don't have a New Year's resolution, but I wrote down a list of goals for comedy.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me about your goals.
Let me pull it up.
All right. My main goal was just to not talk shit about people anymore.
I know. And I'm so sorry because we got lunch the other day and I immediately started talking shit. But I was angry. I've been really angry recently of some stuff I've been seeing. But when you said that, it made me start to think, like, maybe I shouldn't do that either, you know? Okay. My first goal was to start my podcast, which I haven't done yet, but it's okay.
Well, we're trying this.
We're trying this.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll start within the next month. Yeah. Write 5 new minutes every month. That's okay. A goal. I did it for January, so I can give myself a check there. But let's see how February goes. Headline the Riot. I actually did that one. That was a goal for last year that I'd never hit. So I was like, oh, thank God. Save $5,000. That's not really a comedy goal, but it kind of is.
You know? For a new car or?
No, I just need some kind of savings. And I have zero right now. Please don't rob me. I have zero money. Last year it was save $10,000. I didn't get close. So I'm like, I'm going to make it half. I'm going to make it half of that.
How are you going to save? Not drinking or like?
I tend to spend when I get my money. And I've also had a lot of car stuff and just life things pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dentist.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not like focused on making money. So maybe that goal is not, because you spend a lot of time doing things that aren't going to pay off, like with the hours you put in. Like, but,
yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I also, I should probably get a secondary job at some point.
Damn. But you already work like two jobs and you do stand up 5 or 6 times a week, right?
I only work one job now.
Oh, you're the nanny.
I'm a nanny.
Okay.
That's fun. I could tell you some shit about that.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's going good. But the oldest son is getting into a lot of trouble. Like he just got had a run in with the police.
Oh, yeah. Is he like 5?
No.
No, how old is he?
Like, he's 16.
16. Oh, okay.
A 5-year-old getting a run in with the police. Never, that would be hilarious. What'd you do? Stole a candy bar.
Why would a 16-year-old need a nanny, though?
Oh, he doesn't really need me, but there's 3 other children that are younger.
Oh, okay.
But the mom asked me to search his room
for pot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For pot, for nicotine. I was like, well, if I find any, I'm keeping it. I'm not going to turn it into you. No, but that was so, I was like, I don't want to search a 16-year-old boy's room.
Yeah, why can't she search the room? Like that's an appropriate thing for a mom to do, not somebody who just works there. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, I felt, I opened like 2 drawers and I was like, I feel super uncomfy in this situation.
Yeah, especially you don't want to look at his, well, I don't think boys keep physical porn anymore, so you wouldn't find that.
I don't want to find a tissue or a sock or whatever, you know, whatever. It's just weird.
Mm.
It's also, it just seems like a huge violation for a stranger to go through your room.
Yeah, and you still have to keep going there, and like, you know, you wouldn't want to. Yeah, it would mar the relationship.
Yeah, I can't imagine what I would do if my parents had a stranger search my room as a high schooler.
Yeah,
I would be so weirded out.
My mom. Because
I did have physical porn. No, I'm just kidding. I did have magazines.
Yeah, I was only worried about the cigarettes. And I remember once having a dream about my mom finding. I used to smoke cigarettes and then I'd put them out in this little drawer, this little wooden drawer. I just put them out directly on the wood.
Did your mom smoke cigarettes too?
No. But my brothers and sisters all did. And I'm the youngest of 7. And so there were smokers in the house.
I was like, because she could smell it for sure.
But I would smoke in the basement and then like put cigarettes out in this drawer and stub them out on this wood. And which is, why not get an ashtray? I didn't. I was like.
Because you were young.
Yeah. And I had a dream that she found the drawer. And then I was like, oh, shit, I don't know. And then I woke up and she was holding the drawer over. And she had found it. I was like,
oh, my God.
My dream became my reality. And I was like.
Well, she was probably yelling at you. And inside your head, a dream started to form.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
And then another time she found like this old plate that was because I slept in a room in the basement that had all sorts of in the house we grew up in Park Ridge, Illinois. I'm the youngest of 7, so there were all sorts of mementos and commemorative plates and, you know, school projects and stuff from the older kids of their, you know, time in elementary school and high school and all this. And
that's why you shouldn't have 7 kids.
Yeah, there's this one.
You have to keep like shitty artwork from 7 different children.
Yeah.
That's going to take up way too much room. Your refrigerator is going to be covered.
She found this one plate with dust on it when I was like 11 years old, and she accused me of doing cocaine.
Oh, I remember you telling me
that. She thought it was cocaine, and I'd never seen.
Your mom sounds like a loser. She doesn't know what cocaine looks like. She thinks dust is cocaine.
Yeah, I never did cocaine in high school.
You're like, no, mom, I'm not a drug addict. You just can't clean.
You're just an idiot. Yeah.
You're dirty.
Yeah.
Your house is dirty.
Do you ever get caught doing cocaine?
No.
Ever been caught doing pot?
I did get caught doing pot in college. I didn't really do anything when I was in high school. In college, I used to drive around in my car and smoke with my friends.
But you lived at home, and then they caught you while you were in college. You didn't, like, they didn't search a dorm.
I lived on campus. They just happened to go into my car, and they smelled weed.
Oh.
And they got really, really angry. Because they're like, what is it called?
They're co-signers of the car. Yeah, it's so unsafe.
Like, we could get in legal trouble if anything ever happened, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so it's not about me doing the drugs. It's about
getting
the monetary consequences.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good point, though, I guess.
It's a good point.
If you're paying for somebody's car and they're, yeah.
I was paying for my car.
Oh, but they co-signed.
But their names were on it.
On the lease.
Yeah.
Or on the title.
On the title, yeah. Oh. But, you know.
Your parents are high school teachers.
No. My mom taught middle school, and so did my dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But teachers. Yeah, I thought they were your high school teachers.
No, they were my middle school teachers. But my dad, actually, that was his secondary job. He's a paralegal full-time.
Oh, okay.
He taught French for a few years and then retired.
My sister was a French teacher as well. Or she has a PhD in French literature. And she's a professor, and she's taught high school on and off between professor jobs.
Did she teach the Beauty and the Beast?
I don't know. Is it the Jean Cocteau version?
I don't know. I was just singing the Disney version.
There's like a 1940s French.
Yeah, or Ratatouille.
Yeah, she'd be...
let's watch Ratatouille today. Okay. They have a French version.
Yeah.
We watched it one time at French camp.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate for seventh grade. So, yeah. Yeah.
It's appropriate for now. That's a beautiful movie.
I haven't seen it since it came out. But,
okay.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I don't remember.
Maybe you should watch it.
All right. Yeah. Maybe. I like Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
Who does he play?
He plays the rat.
He does?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That movie came out before I knew about stand-up. Mm. He plays Remy.
Yeah, he's Remy.
I love that the human's name in that movie is Linguini Alfredo.
Linguini Alfredo?
That's his... I'm like, first of all...
That's
Italian.
The food critic?
No, that's the guy who the rat is controlling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, that's Italian. There's a French guy named Linguini Alfredo. Also, that's a pasta.
So, ridiculous. Was one of your goals to...
You're like, shut the fuck up about this fucking movie. Like, leave me alone. I like it.
You got to open for Shang Wang, though, like a month ago. You traveled to Dallas to feature for Shang Wang.
Feature is so nice. It was actually hosting, but we can say feature.
But hosting.
We can change history.
It's still, you know, he asked for you by name.
He did. He
messaged
me.
And traveled to Dallas.
Traveled to Dallas. 6 sold out shows. It was very fun.
At the Addison Improv.
Very cool. I had never done a club weekend before, so that was really
fun. Nor have I. I mean, you have now, but...
Now
I was going to call this... I was going to call this podcast, Do You Think You're Better Than Me? And...
Did you just invite me here to shame me for my accomplishments?
That was the original name of the podcast, though. Instead of the Healing Club.
Maybe you should change it now that it's video.
Do you think you're better than me?
Yeah. Invite people on, list all their accolades, and then go, so you think you're better than me?
Yeah. All right. It seems like you're doing pretty well. Yeah.
And I do think I'm better than you. Yeah.
Damn.
To answer the question. Sorry.
Okay.
You have to be delusional in this business.
You have some amazing sculptures. I'm very jealous of the sculptures you made. And I'm like...
Oh, really?
Everybody's gonna like those the best,
why?
And then everybody's gonna
go
be like,
route,
everybody's gonna
Bob?
Be like, oh, forget Bob, he's not good.
First of all,
not like that, Tess.
First of all, that's not true.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's time to heal. It's time to heal because it's the Healing Club. Don't go down that route.
Don't go down that jealousy route.
Everyone in the show has beautiful pieces. I love your artwork. I think it's very cool, very unique.
Yeah.
It fits your style perfectly. And I love your drawings.
I get a little bit like, I don't know. Just hopeless. I get the feeling like it's all just a waste of time.
Do you go to therapy?
No, I should, but I get a little bit like, you know.
You just do 250 podcasts? You know, there's also, do you ever listen to podcasts as your therapy? I've done that before.
No, I listen to podcasts for comedy. Just to hear people tell funny stories and stuff. And
but that can be healing.
Or to talk about, yeah.
I like hearing about other people's mishaps in life. Mm-hmm. It feels like, it's not shitty. It doesn't make me feel better, but it does. I'm like, oh, if someone can get through this stuff and come out on the other side, then I can get through my bullshit.
I was reading this book at work today, More Than Freedom, Fighting for Black Citizenship in a White Republic, 1829 to 1889.
Yeah, and that's why you're sad, because you keep reading stuff like
and
that.
And reading about...
are you reading that because it's Black History Month?
Yeah, no, but that's sort of what I majored in college. The bulk of my classes were about the Civil War and abolitionist movements and the fight for citizenship for Black people and like... the end of slavery and who ended slavery and why did it end? How was it adapted into what we see now is systemic racism, which is a vestige of slavery, and how was race socially constructed? And it's really interesting to see like how we are like at the end of the 18th century, people weren't as racist as they were 50 years later once it became an institution and so many people were making so much money off of the, institution of slavery.
Do you really think that's true? What? That people weren't as racist?
Well, it's like it is true. I mean, like Europeans had like there's the Black Count, in the French. God damn it. Now I'm getting lost. I think there this book is talking a lot about how like racism as we know it now was developed and like entrenched in our cultural conversation and in our like national psyche in the early 19th century.
Mm.
And that's that because of, the cotton gin and then the plantations and then the fight to end slavery was a traumatic fight, and the cruelty of like the Fugitive Slave Act and stuff in 1850 was like more cruel than the laws passed at the end of the 18th century.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not reading the book. I feel like I can't in general comment.
Yeah, but you were saying like I like to read to think about other people's misfortunes and
not like that. I meant more like stories of personal struggle toward and then success after the fact.
Yeah, I like to read the
reading about slavery doesn't make me feel better.
Well,
I wouldn't say. I mean, it's a horrible thing that happened. It's important to know what happened and why we are how we are now.
Yeah. And I just like to read about the, I think like slavery was awful because it like confined people to menial jobs that and a whole like group of people were relegated to the status of animals or chattel.
Yeah.
And in order to be recognized as a human being, Black artists had to like say things that were so significant that they had to be so undeniable, like the blues and our literature of like Toni Morrison the greatest cultural contributions to our United States society have been made by Black people because Black people have been so oppressed and have had to work so hard to be heard. And their songs are proof that they're not,
And it's still not.
So then I feel like, why am I even bothering talking if I'm not a, you know,
coming from a place. Why are you even bothering talking?
Yeah, like, well, if I'm just, not coming from a place of, you know, like.
Well, just because you haven't experienced that type of oppression doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a voice in this world.
Yeah, I know. Well, I liked it.
And you've gone through your own trials and tribulations.
Yeah. But,
with your own experiences. I mean, shit.
But when I get really scared about the way things are going with if Donald Trump is elected in 2024 and he wants to be dictator for just a day and how he's going to, you know, fight back against the people who tried to punish him. And then he's going to, you know, shut down the media or whatever. But
I can believe it because we've done this before and, you know, I'm not blind to how people feel in this country, but it still is so insane to me that he's quite possibly going to become president again.
Yeah.
I hate it. And I got so pissed off during the last election, you know, and not the last.
In the 2016.
In the 2016. That was the first election I was ever able to actually vote. And what a great start to my adult life. Yeah. But I remember being like so upset and talking about how, like, you know, how many consequences there was going to be, and people calling me like crazy and, you know, hysterical, basically. I don't know. There was a bunch of us that were like, Roe v. Wade it's going to go away. And they're like, that's crazy. It's never going to go away. I'm like, here we are. Fucking like almost 8 years later, it's gone.
Yeah, and it's not coming back anytime soon.
No one has done anything. Yeah,
nobody's even talking about it anymore. It's normalized that
it's fine. You just leave the state or have a baby. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's how it is now.
But I think, I get really stressed out thinking about that.
Don't you love this country?
I get super stressed out thinking about our present.
But we're so free, Bob. We're so free.
But things have been so bad before in the past for people that... Yeah. You know, it only makes sense that they would still be bad now. And how do people get through before?
How do we be happy, Bob? Yeah. How do we be happy?
I don't know. Like, I can't make you happy. I don't know.
Why did you name?
You're either happy or you're not. That's what I think. And if you're not happy,
you're either ignorant or you're not.
No, you can solve your ignorance, but you can never be happy if you're just not happily disposed.
No, I'm saying if you're ignorant, you could be happy.
Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah. It's not the only way to be happy, though.
No, there's also drugs.
Yeah.
And sleep. You can go to sleep for 12 hours at a time. Real fun time.
And there's
time.
Jacking off.
Yeah, it doesn't bring me the same joy as it used to.
No, well, you're not a man.
You can't. I mean, I live at home now, so jacking off isn't really a huge option unless it's the goddamn middle of the night.
Oh.
Because my parents, my mom's retired, my dad works from home, so I'm never alone.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not happy. It's for maintenance at this point.
Yeah. I, you know. You can always find a way to jack off, though. I jacked off in.
Yes, you can, but I can't just like do it freely. You know what I'm saying? Like when I lived alone, my bedroom door could be open. I could listen to anything I wanted to.
Yeah, and I didn't think women even made that much noise doing that. Like,
I don't, but there's still, you know.
It's not like a fat
thing. But
it's
not silent either.
Is it?
No, it's no.
What is it?
Ugh, I hate that sound.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a.
It's not eggs beating. It's not like, you know.
No.
It's.
No. So it's a. It's not fun anymore.
Okay. So
it'll be fun again one day.
My cat is pretty cute, you know?
Yeah, how is he?
But the thing I don't like that he does is every time I go to the bathroom, he like runs up to go see what's going on and like he wants me to piss on him or something.
Animals are gross.
And I always have to like, yeah.
Animals are disgusting. Our dog is disgusting too. She just wants anything that comes out of the human body.
Yeah,
like you sweat and she's like, let me lick your leg, and I'm like, get off me.
Yeah, and my cat loves my shoes, and mm-hmm. and he likes to take his little cat toys and then like hide them in my shoes.
That's actually cute.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
He's like, don't forget me when you leave. what's that Louis joke? Come on my face, cats once, shame on me.
Come on my cat's face once. No, no, come on my. Yeah, come on my cat's face twice. But I don't know the Louis joke.
Oh. You know Louis, he's disgusting. He has a joke about jacking off on his cat's face.
Oh, okay. Well, here's to, I would suck Louis C.K.'s dick if it would get me a career. But right. It wouldn't. I don't think he'd be the one to go for.
I don't think he needs you to jack.
Yeah, he doesn't need me to suck his dick.
He just needs you to watch him jack off. That's his kink. Which, as far as creeps go, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
At least you're not touching me.
Yeah, it's better than Woody Allen.
Not that what he did was okay at all, but like,
yeah,
I would rather that than what Aziz Ansari did.
Which is what?
Oh, he got in trouble for like fingering a woman badly.
Oh.
I would rather have someone jack off in front of me than get fingered badly ever again.
I think he didn't know that he'd done it badly. I think he's just a bad lover or something. And then she wrote I remember that.
Yeah, like, she wrote a whole thing about it.
And it's like, oh, well. Poor Aziz. That was the one where I was
he's not poor.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
He's fine. He's fine. He came out with a special a few years ago. I like how his special was, I'm going to ambush people.
Well, his new special or his old? He had one where he had the T-shirt special and then he had a comedy club special.
Yeah, it's the one where he goes to the cellar and he didn't tell the audience he was filming. He just like ambushed them with his special.
That's the
and,
newer like, filmed one. It. Yeah.
It was good. Yeah. I liked it.
I think Ray Romano did that too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where he didn't tell them it was going to be him or they didn't know.
That's cool. I like that concept because then you get more of a real.
Yeah, it's not people who paid reaction. To watch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Andrew Dice Clay did that too. The day that.
I'm sorry. Andrew Dice Clay is crazy. Yeah. I got stuck in a wormhole watching his videos the other day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So I was trying to do an impression of him for our show with impressions.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't end up, Corliss and I didn't end up doing impressions.
He's actually pretty funny. I find him funny, but I don't find everything he says funny. I think he's pretty.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But in a interesting way.
And he was good to Ducky in Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gave Ducky the right advice, but Ducky didn't listen.
That movie was weird.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to end up with her friend, not the guy.
Yeah, that movie seems like they like rewrote it after...
they did.
Like a screen test or something.
They did rewrite it after a screen test.
Oh, that's exactly what happened?
That's like literally exactly what happened.
Where they changed who she wound up with.
Yeah, because the audience didn't like it.
The audience didn't like that he was going to wind up with Ducky. They're like, no, that guy sucks.
They were like, he should end up with the hot guy. Oh. So they redid it. Am I wrong? Is that true?
Oh.
That's not true? Well, there's one movie where that happened and they rewrote it.
Frozen?
No.
Yeah, Elsa was originally.
No, I swear to God. Yeah, did Elsa they? No, I believe you on the Frozen thing.
16 Candles, was it? I don't know. It's amazing how quickly he made all those movies. He made like... Yeah, he made like 12 movies in 5 years.
Also, the French count you were thinking of is Alexander Dumas.
Alexander Dumas. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. He was like, he served in the French Revolutionary Army. And
I'm right. They rewrote the ending to Pretty in Pink. The people rose up during the first screen test booing the film's original ending, a never-released ending that saw Andy end up with Ducky. So they had to rewrite it for her to end up with Blaine. Yeah. Don't ever cross me again.
Yeah, fuck Blaine. Yeah, Blaine should be
Blaine. Blaine's a weird name.
Yeah, I know a guy named Blaine who's a good guy, but I think Blaine would be a good replacement for Chad.
Chad. Like
Chad's name that was
Blaine
was
like the Chad of the 50s.
Or the 80s or Blaine just seems like a real, smarmy dick kind of name for a person. Anyway. Yeah. Are we about out of time here?
We got 50 minutes.
What? We're at 50 minutes? That's cool.
50 minutes?
But you wanted to go and do an open mic something.
Oh, yeah. It's 9:30. When does the open mic start? Sorry, you can cut all this out.
Oh. Yeah, we're not going to cut. I don't know which open mic you're thinking of going to.
Oh, you don't cut stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, guys. This is how the behind the scenes of the industry. All right.
This is just us talking and thinking. And
I do have to pee, though. So if we could wrap, that'd be really cool for my bladder.
I think there were some good moments in here. We had some good times. We got to the bottom of some deep issues. I think we really addressed some important things. And it's not just background noise. It's can you bring the music back? And then we'll... Okay.
What did we talk? We talked about dreams. We talked about jacking off.
Drinking.
We talked about slavery.
Yeah.
Because what's better on a podcast than two white people talking about slavery? Am I right?
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah, we got into a little bit of terror, paranoia, self-image issues, body issues, shame,
You know what's crazy right
loss
now?
Loss of confidence.
Right now,
you think you're better than me? You think you're better than me?
Right now, we are the background noise to this music, which is wild.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for doing the first video podcast, Tess.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Tess. And thank you, Mike, for putting all this together. And all right, we're going to see you in school.
Bye.
Bye. All right.